Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Never seen the sunshine brighter.
Are your arteries clear? Welcome to the Good Day program. I'm Doug Steffen along with Jennifer Horn. Rich McFadden is at the controls in our studio in Washington. Kara Schillen is taking your calls at 888-302-3684. Kenny Kessler is monitoring what you have to say at social media posts like facebook.com/goodday, Twitter at Good Day. Lots of huffing and puffing about the Powerball jackpot, a little conversation about the president and his State of the Union address. There are a lot of people that are trying to dismount, regroup, and attack. Because there were some things that were said that both sides probably could think about and work on. One of the things that he talked about was making it easier to vote. And when you get around that, I thought the two most important things that he said were appointing Joe Biden to lead efforts to cure cancer. I think not that it's going to happen. That is not that it's going to that there's going to be a cure for cancer, but that there's a certain amount of non-lip service being paid to the fact that cancer is a big business. And really, most people who are in the business don't want to see a cure for cancer, but it makes you feel good. For some reason or other, I got a different feel from him. Other than I get annoyed listening to him talk about Gunna and Willa and Kuda and no G's on the end of his words, that drives me bananas. But other than that, that's not, maybe people say, well, that's pretty superficial, Doug. That's not substantive. Well, it depends on where you're coming from. Anyway, but pushing for efforts at making it easier to vote, that's something that sticks in my craw.
Drives me crazy.
Always has, because it's a signal. It's there are the, there's that, and then the other things. I relate this to what happened in the 60s or during any movements during the war, the Vietnam War, when I was a kid. The protests in the streets need to start again. We need to be protesting things like the way we vote in this country, not only who gets to vote, but the fact that we don't vote at a time that it makes sense, that all of the primaries are not held on one day. We don't vote on a weekend. We have different rules in every state, which is crazy. If you want to have different rules that apply to your state elections, that's fine. But when it comes to the federal election, every state should be playing by the same rule.
I totally agree with you. But to that point, Dougie, as a woman and as someone who my right to vote is still relatively new, if they put the election at midnight on Christmas Eve, we should still make it a priority to go and vote. It's the one thing that it's like the basic level of how you get involved with civics in this country.
It's too difficult. It's too difficult to vote. In the question about making it easier to vote, their emphasis is on the wrong thing. They want anybody just wandering off the street and say, hey,
right,
I'm Fred Smith. I want to vote. That's not what we're talking about, making voting easy.
It's not
That's
too
not
difficult,
what,
but they
I'm
should
saying.
Make it easier for sure.
It needs to be easy to go and vote. All the primaries should be on the same day, and you go to a place on Saturday or Sunday when you're not tied up with other things. Most people are free on the weekend, certainly more than are free on Tuesday.
I'm with you, but what I'm saying is no matter what the rules are, and yes, I think we should have the conversation about changing them. This is such an important thing that people do not care about, or that they just get too involved with their own lives to make time for. This is important, and people died for your right to go and press that box. Go and get out of your couch, or get out of work early for a couple hours and go vote. I mean, it just there's no excuse.
You know, looking around some of the audios, I'm watching the morning news here, out into the audience, if you will, the state, the reps and the senators and stuff. I'm reminded of what Rand Paul said about Ted Cruz's eligibility and whether it gets challenged in the Supreme Court or by the Democrats if he gets that far. I don't get that why is it that we have to reach so hard? Why is it so difficult to reach so far to find good candidates? Why are there all of these question marks about these people, whether it's Mrs. Clinton? I mean, she's got more baggage than the airlines do. And the same is true with many of the Republicans. Why aren't there good people? This is another question.
Because
we really ought to be at the fundamental. This is the fundamental core of what's going on in the country. There's an obvious answer to it from my perspective, but why aren't more people asking the
question? Nobody's perfect, and my idea of good and your idea of good are two different things.
Well, yeah, okay. And you have to be crazy to run for president. I mean, to be honest,
why,
to
though?
Take this off.
Why has it gotten to the point where you got to be crazy? Why can't we have good people who are, like Michael Bloomberg would be a wonderful president.
Lee
Iacocca would have been a great president. As a matter of fact, Colin Powell would have been a good president.
People in your opinion.
I don't agree any of them would be good presidents.
You don't have to agree.
Great business leaders,
saying,
yes.
These people that are running for president now suck. None of them are really any good.
I think they're just as good as Bloomberg would be. Most of them on the Republican side.
Not at all.
But see, we've already answered your question.
Yeah, right.
It's my idea, your idea, Jen's idea, Ken's idea, everybody's idea of perfect or great.
Yes, but this is the Doug Steffen Good Day program, after all.
That's funny. You know, in Fairfax County here, they're having a big dilemma on voting day. It's March 1st for Virginia primary day.
Yeah.
And the schools will be open in Fairfax County, meaning that they're expecting a very high turnout. So they're trying to decide whether they should close schools for the day, and the school district doesn't want to, because then they'll have to take another holiday. Right. And the election board says, you need to close, because it's going to be crazy in there that day, with students, teachers, parents, and voters all in the same facilities.
Hmm.
So it's going to be pretty hairy here.
All right, here's the story of a 79-year-old man from Tennessee, stunned by the local police department response. He dialed 911 because he hadn't eaten in 2 days. The man asked the station, when he called in, he didn't want to tell him what his name was, hadn't been able to eat after somebody who was taking care of him stole his credit cards and took all of his money. So he called police for help, and the response has gotten a lot of attention. And this is one of those good stories. This is one of the stories that makes my day. And when those of you who say, oh, Doug's always saying, Rich usually takes a shot at me because of what I say about the police. Here are five guys that work at the police department who went to the grocery store. They purchased $160 worth of food out of their own pocket, and they went over to the guy's house to stock up his kitchen. When they arrived, the man couldn't believe it. And there are some pictures online of this fellow. You can see him in his circumstances, the police putting all the food in his refrigerator. For me, this is what makes it. This is the kind of stuff that flies in the face of all of the other stories about the bad police. And you know, you can take your criticism of me and stick it, because they roll off my back like water. But every once in a while, you do find something good that needs acknowledgement, and this is one of those times.
And the next day, they found the woman, the caretaker, who stole his credit card and arrested her.
Yeah, good. That's weird.
Fraudulent use of a debit card.
That's appropriate. Yeah. That
was so you want me to be the total pessimist here?
Okay. Well,
how do we know about this story? Who took the pictures of the cops in his house and released it to the press?
I would think another police. Again, the picture I see four police officers. Yeah. Five guys bought the stuff. So I'm figuring there's one policeman behind the guy in the picture. How's that, Richie?
Is it okay with you that they pat their own backs? I'm fine with it. It's a good story. I want to hear it.
I'm not going to dig into it that much.
Yeah, okay.
I think let's just take the surface. Let's take it at surface value.
It's a nice story.
Yeah, it's an okay story. And I don't know that they are the ones responsible for telling everybody about it anyway. For all I know, this guy told somebody, but maybe it goes hand in hand with arresting this woman that stole his credit card. It doesn't have to go that deep. Sometimes we just dig too deep into stuff. Sometimes we don't dig deep enough into stuff, and other times we dig too deeply into stuff. Let it go as
it's just sad that the guy was in the situation.
Yeah. Dr. Ronald Hoffman, one of our medical experts, going to join us in a few moments. We'll talk about Charlie Sheen, among other things. That's next here on Good Day.
Now, Cheap Psych Tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So you got a friend who likes to pick fights. You know the type. They can argue about everything and they know everything. Tired of the verbal sparring? Well, here's how to stop it and the social science of it. It's called the illusion of agreement, and it stops potential arguments before they start. Here's what to do. The next time you and your friend don't see eye to eye, don't get sucked into their argumentative trap. Say instead, you could be right. Then walk away. Saying you could be right and keeping your real thoughts to yourself creates the illusion of agreement. It stopped an argument in its tracks because you haven't given them anything to use against you.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
What's the cheap psychological trick? It takes ammunition to fight a battle. If you don't give them any, they can't fight. You, however, just took their control away. Got a question? Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Think green. Harrison with you. There's a hardy natural plant substance that appears stronger than cement, but it's still controversial here. Imagine a building material that's not only stronger than cement, but 6 times lighter in weight. Its prime ingredient, one of the oldest weeds known, and the weed itself isn't even used. We're talking about hemp waste mixed with cement. A French house builder says she discovered the ancient recipe from Egyptian archaeologists. And unlike traditional cement, which uses coal and medical waste and car tires for heat in its curing, this ancient Egyptian cement is not only hugely stronger, but 6 times lighter in weight and could be the world's green alternative. Except that hemp, a sister to the marijuana plant, is still labeled as, quote, dangerous to society. But given today's economy and environment, is that still going to be so true? From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This slugging first baseman nearly won the Triple Crown in 1994 and was named the NL MVP. He ranks as the Astros' all-time leader in home runs and RBIs.
Look out. I think he's jacked one. Has he ever? How about it?
So where is Jeff Bagwell now? Jeff became the Astros hitting coach in 2010 and turned the offense around. Jeff was offered a 2-year extension, but he turned it down. And the following year, he came up short for the Hall of Fame, his wife filed for divorce, and he was identified as the other man in the assault trial of a Houston surgeon. Jeff, meet your new cellmate, Lenny Dykstra. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Call 888-759-MYTV. Get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. With packages as low as $19.99 for 4 rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Today on App Check, Backstab. Use your deadly skills in your quest for justice and revenge. Exciting 3D adventure game. Backstab. It's a hit.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
All right, 46 after the hour, Doug Steffen's Good Day program. Dr. Ronald Hoffman, one of my favorites when it comes to medicine, the medical world of Ron Hoffman, is well demonstrated in his Intelligent Medicine newsletter. If you want to know what's going on, if you want to, this guy has over many years done a great radio program in New York. Many of you heard him around the country. He is the medical director of the Hoffman Center in New York, and he has what it takes. And that's why I love reading the Intelligent Medicine newsletter. Ron, did we have you hooked up?
Yes, indeed. Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Excellent. Thank you for the kind words.
Well, they are true. I have great respect for you and what you've done. When people ask you questions, like somebody's going to come into your office today and they're going to say, what's the story with Charlie Sheen? He was on with Dr. Oz yesterday. Yeah. He says he's off of his meds. He's been working with a Mexican doctor about the HIV. What really happens in circumstances like this? And I would imagine you've treated people who've had this malady over the years. Is there he's going out of the country because he wants some alternative approach,
yep,
obviously, to his problem, right? Does it work? Are there alternative approaches that work to handle HIV and related problems?
You know, this has actually been a controversy for a long time. And initially, there was nothing on the conventional side to offer HIV patients. So remember the movie Dallas Buyers Club?
Yes.
Which was about those early days when the conventional medicines were really toxic, making people sick, and people were looking for alternatives. They were grasping at straws. And in the movie, And this is actually the way my practice looked like in the late 1980s, early 1990s, when the AIDS epidemic hit New York. We were doing whatever we could to support the health of these guys, giving them intravenous vitamin C, giving them bootleg drugs that were antivirals. And so that was plausible then. But we've turned the corner on HIV, and this is for real. As much as you may have suspicion about conventional medicine, about, you know, the motives of the pharmaceutical industry, and about the lack of efficacy of certain cancer treatments, we really have nailed it down on HIV treatment. And people who have HIV should be getting conventional treatment. That doesn't mean that they shouldn't be taking vitamins and doing natural things. I happen to have a little inside information on the doctor who has gone to in Mexico. He's a very charismatic cancer practitioner. I don't know that he has a purchase on HIV. He has some controversial techniques, and he's very, very persuasive. And, you know, we're talking about Charlie Sheen, a guy who is, you know, maybe a little, shall we say, eccentric? Yeah? And okay. Easily might fall prey to the claims of a practitioner like this. And so he may do this for a while, but it's very likely that cooler heads will prevail, and he'll go back on his HIV medications. What he sees, his numbers go sky high because...
One of the things, though, that we know in this country is the president said he put Joe Biden in charge of finding a cure for cancer.
Oh, yeah, we're in good shape now.
We don't want to find a cure. I was trying to be non-political about it. The idea of finding a cure, though, for cancer, when we have guys being harassed like Brzezinski in Houston, who has treated how many thousands of people that had tumors and been successful with like 94% of them, and the government wants to run them out of business?
It's very interesting. It's interesting because Nixon officially declared war against cancer. You remember when? What year that was? That was 1971. Okay, and we were going to, you know, have like a moonshot project, and within, you know, a decade, we were going to conquer that disease. Well, it's now 2016, and we're initiating another moonshot type project. We can do it. We're Americans, American ingenuity. And look, we've made a lot of strides towards treating cancer, but, you know, part of the problem is that we're using the wrong paradigm. We're developing very, very expensive targeted medications that people won't be able to afford. I mean, for example, we now have medications to treat hepatitis C, but the cost of them is well over $100,000 a year. So, you know, that's the problem.
All right. Intelligent Medicine Newsletter. Sign up for it at drhoffman.com.